Disc 10.
Ian Guthrum were talking. A canopy had been raised between Alfred's camp and Wareham's western wall, and it was beneath that shelter that a truce was being hammered out. Alfred would have liked to assault Wareham, but the approach was narrow, the wall was high and in very good repair, and the Danes were numerous. It would have been a very risky fight, and one that the Danes could expect to win, and so Alfred had abandoned the idea. As for the Danes, they were trapped. They had been relying on Halfdan coming to attack Alfred in the rear. But Halfdan was dead in Ireland, and Guthrum's men were too many to be carried away on their ships, big as their fleet was. And if they tried to break out by land, they would be forced to fight Alfred on the narrow strip of land between the two rivers, and that would cause a great slaughter. I remembered Ravan telling me how the Danes feared to lose too many men, for they could not replace them quickly. Guthrum could stay where he was, of course, but then Alfred would besiege him, and Alfred had already ordered that every barn, granary, and storehouse within raiding distance of the pool was to be emptied. The Danes would starve in the coming winter. Which meant that both sides wanted peace. And Alfred and Guthrum had been discussing terms, and I arrived just as they were finishing the discussions. It was already too late in the year for the Danish fleet to risk a long journey around Wessex's southern coast, and so Alfred had agreed that Guthrum could remain in Wareham through the winter. He also agreed to supply them with food on condition that they made no raids, and he agreed to give them silver, because he knew the Danes always wanted silver, and in return they promised that they would stay peaceably in Wareham and leave peaceably in the spring when their fleet would go back to East Anglia and the rest of their army would march north through Wessex, guarded by our men, until they reached Mercia. No one on either side believed the promises, so they had to be secured, and for that each side demanded hostages. And the hostages had to be of rank, or else their lives would be security for nothing. A dozen Danish earls, none of whom I knew, were to be delivered to Alfred, and an equivalent number of English nobles given to Guthrum. Which was why I had been summoned. Which was why Alfred had been so distant with me, for he knew all along that I was to be one of the hostages. My use to him had lessened that year because of the fleet's impotence, but my rank still had bargaining power, and so I was among the chosen. I was Ealdorman Uhtred, and only useful because I was a noble. And I saw Odda the Younger smiling broadly as my name was accepted by the Danes. Guthrum and Alfred then swore oaths. Alfred insisted that the Danish leader make his oath with one hand on the relics that Alfred always carried in his baggage. There was a feather from the dove that Noah had released from the ark, a glove that had belonged to Saint Ched, and most sacred of all, a toe ring that had belonged to Mary Magdalene. The Holy Ring, Alfred called it, and a bemused Guthrum put his hand on the scrap of gold and swore he would keep his promises, then insisted that Alfred put a hand on the bone he hung in his hair, and he made the King of Wessex swear on a dead Danish mother that the West Saxons would keep the treaty. Only when those oaths were made, sanctified by the gold of a saint and the bone of a mother, were the hostages exchanged. And as I walked across the space between the two sides, Guthrum must have recognised me, for he gave me a long contemplative look. And then we were escorted, with ceremony, to Wareham, where Earl Ragnar, son of Ragnar, welcomed me.